I'm going to continue in the book of Ephesians, and if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, as we continue in the book of Ephesians 4:12. And if you remember verse 11, we studied last time, as it is He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now here we saw it's the Lord who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors. Now we are going to see why. And so the message that I'm going to teach today is the purpose of the church. And verse 12 says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. I'm going to take only that verse because we are going to really get into this verse today. We're going to really expose this scripture. It says for the perfect, I'm going to take three parts here. For the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, let's see. For the perfecting of the saints, what is the purpose of the church? Is it not to evangelize, to preach the gospel to the unsaved, and so they will be converted and brought to the kingdom of God, to do the will of God in obedience? Yes, the Christians are called soldiers for Christ. In evangelism, as soldiers, we enter into enemy territory. And as a soldier, we need to be equipped. You don't find soldiers going through enemy territory without any training, without being equipped. In the same way, Christians, we need to be equipped to go into enemy territory. And we need to be spiritually equipped. Now, when Apostle Paul says here, for the perfecting of the saints, that means God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for perfecting of the saints. Now, the first thing that comes to our mind will be, are we going to be perfect then? You know, gave it for us to be perfect. Is that the case? Are we going to be perfect? It says perfecting of the saints. And some of your Bibles may say equipping of the saints. Now, the question is, are the believers going to be perfect? Well, believers are not perfect in this life. When I say believers are not perfect in this life, it has to do with sanctification. Okay? When it comes to meaning we are not perfect in sanctification as we are growing in perfection, as we are growing daily to be conformed to Christ. However, the believers are perfect in Christ's righteousness. When you talk about justification, when you talk about the legal standing, where I stand right now before God, I am perfect through Christ's righteousness that has been imputed to me. Right? Now, let's see the word perfect or equipped. Paul uses the Greek word katatismo. K-A-T-A-R-T-I-S-M-O. It comes from the Greek word katatizo. It means to mend something, to repair something, or to prepare something. Now, I'm going to show you a scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Here we see Jesus going on from there he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. And here we see James and John, they were mending their fishing nets. So two brothers mending their fishing nets, it is the same Greek word used here. They were mending, it means they were equipping their nets. They were equipping their nets, so they were making the nets perfect so they can catch a fish. They are making it, they are equipping it, so it will become perfect so they can catch fish. The same Greek word used there. Now, let me show you another scripture. Galatians chapter 6, 1. Galatians 6, 1. Says here, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Here we see again, when a believer has fallen into sin, those who are spiritual should go and restore. The same word that is being used, that means the Greek word katatizo being used, it means to repair, to equip that person, he will be perfect again. And Luke chapter 6 verse 40, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Here again, we see the word perfect means that he would be equipped, so he will be like his teacher. A disciple. So we see how God orderly, perfectly, how he has beautifully arranged things in the church, as Jesus is the cornerstone, and with the doctrines of the apostles and the prophets, and the teacher, evangelists and the teachers are here to equip the body. So how can you equip somebody? How can you equip someone? How can you equip someone? According to the majority of the churches, of course, they believe you need to attend some kind of a seminar, a revival, or some kind of a church growth movement. According to Rick Warren's book, and in 40 days, you will be fully equipped. So, there is no 40 days waiting period if you read the Word of God. It is not looking for a seeker-sensory movement, but to the Word of God alone. The pastor's work is to teach the fullness of the Word of God without being sugar-coated, or without putting melted butter on it. So the desire of the pastor is that his body, his saints, the believers will become strong, that they will be mended, that they will repaired. So pastor who cares for the body is who prays for the weak. So they would listen to the Word of God and they would be equipped. So when the Word of God is preached in its fullness, people would be equipped, because the God's Word is powerful. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, in reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is only the Word of God can make you equipped. Not going to seminars, or going through some kind of a movement, getting into some kind of emotional feeling, you will not be equipped. It's only the Word of God. So the body of believers are not perfect. There's a lot of repair that needs to be done. There's a lot of mending to do. So the believers will be fully equipped and perfect for what? For what purpose? For what purpose? Just imagine, believers need to be equipped, right? For what purpose? Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 12. For equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So we will be equipped. For what purpose? For the working of the ministry. Sometimes, God uses even suffering for perfection, So 1 Peter 5:10 says, but for the word of God of all grace, He had called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus after you have suffered while make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. Now, just think about yourself. Just think about us. Here we are. We too were spiritually ruined. We too, our minds were darkened. Our wills were crooked. And our affections were unsanctified. Just like James and John, when they were mending their broken nets, God in His grace ended us, repaired us, renovated us, renovated this ruined building. So why does God equip us? For the work of the ministry. So disciples, they were fishermen. They were mending their nets, right? But the Lord called them as He was going to give them a new job now. A new ministry. As He said, follow Me. And I will make you fishers of men. They were fishermen fishing. Jesus said, I'm going to make you, I'm going to give you a new job, a new ministry, but follow Me. That means you have to follow Me. You have to be with Me. You have to listen to Me. Then, once you follow Me, once you're going to be with Me, once you listen to Me, once you obey Me, I am going to make you a fisher of men. He is the master and they were servants. And we see the Greek word here in Ephesians 4:12 when it says here, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. See the word work of the ministry there. Here, the word is used for work or service. Okay, work or service. The Greek word is diakonia. And this comes from the Greek word diakonos. Diakonos means a servant. Now you might say, well, I thought the Greek word for servant was doulos. And some of you have heard a bond servant, right? The word doulos has to do with the relationship with the Lord. As it's a bond servant, it has to do directly with the relationship with the Lord. You are a bond servant here. But the word diakonos means it's your work. The work that you are going to do is this way. The work you are going to do for the ministry. Just regular work, what you are going to do. So the word diakonos means service or the ministry. Pastor, preach the fullness of the word which will repair and mend the believers in the church. They would be equipped and perfect for what? For service. So when I preach, people will hear, they would be, they would be equipped for what? For service. And 1 Thessalonians You can see Apostle Paul's heart for the church here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Then they praying exceedingly that we might see your faith and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So the believers are not going to be just hearers only, but also doers of the word, as where they will become laborers, as they will work. They will be in service for the Lord. God called us not only to worship Him, but also to serve Him. So they would be involved in the ministry, in serving God. So the desire of the pastor is that his body will become strong, and there will be a ministry, meaning that they would minister in the church, that they will serve. Now once they are equipped, as they become laborers of the Lord, they can be used mightily to help others. There are people in the church who are weak and who are young, who are growing in the Lord. So once they are being used, once they are equipped and once they become laborers, they can edify those who are weak, those who are growing. And this is really discipleship. And see the next part in Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, then the next part is what? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Goes along. So well. No problem. It's so easy. When you really meditate on the Word of God, you can see how smoothly it flows. Today you hear some say they go to church to be edified. Majority of the churches today, they say, oh, I go to church so I can be edified. And the meaning today is so many people are going to church and they say, I want to be edified. It means I want to feel good. So some kind of a self-esteem. Many will edify with one another in many churches, with worldly talk, or it's more like a club or a society. They will make friends, talk about mutual things, and ask about how was the football game. Talk about politics, movies, about cooking and things like that, about shopping. That's not edifying. It may feel good. Feel good only for the flesh. That's not Apostle Paul is talking here. It's not a good feeling. This is not what the Bible is speaking. The Greek word that is used here for edify is oikodomi. It means to build. It literally means to construct a building. So oikodomi literally means here, the word edify, it means literally to construct a building. But in context here, it is not literal but figurative. It is used in a metaphorical sense. Now, let me show you some examples here. We see in the New Testament, when Peter preached the word of God in its fullness, people were cut to the heart and asked Peter and asked 2:37, they asked Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody who comes to church hears the word of God. But everyone will not be mended and be repaired. Some will come to church and leave the same way they came, without any repair, anything be mended. But some would be cut to the heart. So not all will benefit by the message, but only the true believers will benefit by the message. Because some may even be looking at me, but all of them may be sleeping, or their minds may be all over, going different places. So, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, verse 11, He answered and said to them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So the true believers will be edified, means they to build. Now, whenever you see a construction, a building, big building, construction, and you will find a lot of workers there. And you will see in a construction how beautifully organized everything. So everybody is working in different ways. But you don't see in a construction place, in a construction building, people sitting and chatting or sitting and watching. If that's the case, you will be fired. In the same way, when the true believers who are converted by the power of God, the same power of God will continue in you. The power of God is not going to stop after conversion. Oh, wow, I was converted. That was great. Now you can just be a normal person. No, it doesn't stop. It continues. As we saw the word edify and the Greek word oikodomi, it means literally to construct a building. But in the context, as I said, it's figurative, okay? It's not literal. And I'm going to show you another example in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezra. The Jews, they came from captivity from Babylon, and they were rebuilding the temple. And let us turn to Ezra chapter 9, verse 6. Ezra 9, 6. B.C. And I said, Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Here we see true repentance in the light of the Word of God. This is true repentance. And in verse 8, And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg in His holy place that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. Now, note, you cannot even repent without the grace of God. And it is God who enlightens. Verse 9 says, For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but He extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, now see, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and give us a wall in Judah, in Jerusalem. Here we go again, as we see. Literally, the word oikodomi means to construct a building. And here we see how God brought the children of Israel from Babylon. And how Ezra, the priest, they saw they had sinned against God. And they repented of their sin. And now they want to construct the temple of the Lord. Same with Nehemiah. Walls of Jerusalem. And here they are involved in the ministry. Here it's the same with the believers. When you are brought from darkness to the light of Christ, when there's salvation, then after that we will be equipped. And after that we will be used in the ministry. In the book of Ephesians, here the church is not a building that we are not to construct here when it says to edify, not literally to construct buildings, but believers are gathered to worship and serve God. We are need to build. That means we need to construct, to heal one another in their spiritual growth. That means to edify one another, build up one another. This is a spiritual edification, spiritually building up one another. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Romans 14, 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may one may edify one another. Now turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Now I'm going to show you a lot of people. I'm going to show you the other side, the false side of how people want to edify for wrong motive. Okay? Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. And here Peter is saying, Apostle Paul, here, verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is what Paul's desire is, to build you up so that you be equipped to serve in the ministry as laborers. Then see verse 33. I have coveted no one's silver, gold, or apparel. Now, the purpose of the church is to build the believers up so that they would be fully equipped in the ministry for evangelism. Eventually, that's where it's going to. Alright? Everybody is somehow or other linked for evangelism, whatever you do in the ministry. Some are directly, some are indirectly. Alright? So that's the whole truth here. So they are not believers. The church, the pastor, the ministers are to build a church, not to covet or to be greedy by sugarcoating the word of God for their greediness and to get money. But today, a lot of big ministries, a lot of big churches. Today there are televangelists and ministers like Chambers, John Avanzini, Kenny Hagin, Benny Hinn, John Hagee, Rod Pasley, T.D. Jakes, Kenny Copeland, Fred Price, and a host of others who are preaching false doctrine that tingles the ears and give kind of pleasure to the flesh. And it sounds so good. They even use the word of God. But a lot of people have no discernment. Their motive is to make money out of the word of God with craftiness and smooth talking. And they can captivate an audience with great charm. They are not building the believers, of course. There are a lot of people. It doesn't mean they are building the believers. But they are building the kingdom of God with people with their wallets, with their money. They live in million-dollar homes. They fly around the country in their own personal jets. They ride a chauffeur-driven limos. Their lifestyle does not match with the word of God. Many people, that's why, you know why? A lot of people, they have no discernment. You know why they have no discernment? They don't get into the word of God and read and study. They don't study the word of God. Even Satan quoted scripture. And these people can quote scripture for their own stomach, for their own flesh. And many don't want to even to hear the word doctrine today. The word doctrine means teaching. They just want to hear and to be entertained by somebody. The popular TBN host Paul Crouch screamed that he doesn't want to hear about doctrinal doo-doo. Then you will see Crouch angrily tell people that if they want to complain to him about false teachings, they are simply wasting their time. As he screamed that, and as he said, "Get out of my sight," he screamed, "I don't want to see your ugly faces. You want to talk about doctrine? Get out. I don't want to see your ugly faces." They blasphemed God, as evangelist Rodney Howard Brown proclaiming himself to be God's holy bartender. But they use scriptures at the same time. Benny Hinn, with his false preaching ministry, reportedly takes over $100 million per year, which allows him to maintain a 3.5 million home and spend $8,000 on airfares and stay in $2,000 night hotel rooms. Can you afford a $2,000 hotel room? The sad part is the true church of God. This is the sad part. The church, the true church of God is silent. They don't talk about these things. They don't want to expose these people. Even the Reformed churches won't expose. If you get into any Reformed church website, the only thing what they do is they're only exposing Arminianism. That's it. Satan is very clever. The late Walter Martin, the original Bible answer man, he shared his own experience trying to put together a coalition of church leaders to confront the heresy of TBN and other Christian networks. In his audio tape, Little Gods in Church, if you can that, find that tape, it will be great. This is what he said, and I'm going to quote. "Recently, I committed an unpardonable sin," says Walter Martin. "I sent a letter to 14 of my colleagues, Christian leaders, whom I could name, and I said, 'These are the following heresies being taught on radio and television, and it's a stench in the nostrils of God.' And then I just reproduced the quotation, and I said, 'I know you don't believe these things. Why don't we all stand together and say, we are not going to give you any credibility if you are not going to stand for the foundations of the faith?'" He sent 14 letters. Now he goes on to say, 12 of them didn't bother to answer me. 2 of them did. One said he would do absolutely nothing because unless they interfere personally in his program, he didn't see where there was any business. Then the other one said, "Well, think of all the good things being done in all these programs, the gospel is certainly being preached. Anyway, the gospel is being preached, so see the good side of it. So we should talk about those things." People are silent. They don't want to talk. Do you hear? This is why it's so sad today that we pause. If just imagine if Spurgeon was here or one of those people, reformers were here. Man, they're not going to just stay and talk on the doctrine. They will expose those people. So we need to, that's why if Christianity is represented by them to the world with the TV, you go and talk to unbelievers trying to witness, they think you are one of them. Here we need to preach and witness the true gospel of Christ and tell others the danger of the false teaching. We need to labor in these last days. We need to serve in the ministry. You need to buy time, purchase time, and redeem the time as the days are evil. Because the days are going to get even worse as we go by. And I'll tell you, that's why when we hear the word of God, that first thing is that we hear the word of God and that we will be mended, you know, we will be repaired that we will be perfected for the work of the ministry. And this is Ephesians is given this chapter 4 verse 12 is not for pastors. It's for everybody in the church, for the saints. Saints is a believer, a true believer. So the word of God, that we kind of being benefited by the word of God, and that we will be working the ministry. Once we are working in the ministry, there are literal work, as I said, literally like building or constructing a building, right? That means energy. You need to put energy, all right? So when you're working for the ministry, you need to have, you need to put your labor, energy. Then after that, you can edify people. You can lift them up. You can be used mightily. And that's what the scripture is talking here. It's not talking on a big church trying to build them up, lift them up. That is not edification. Then trying to get, okay, get the money out. And then look where how they live. That's not what he's talking here. And this is the pure word of God without any sugar coating or honey coated, just as it is said. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. That we cannot add anything to it. And we cannot make it the way we want to make it. But Lord, woe unto us, Lord, if we add to your word. Woe unto us, Lord, if we give another doctrine, another doctrine. We can ask, Lord God, that you would give us a grace that we would continue in preaching sound doctrine. We ask, Lord God Almighty, at the same time for the hearers of the church and the people who listen through the internet. We pray, Lord, that the word of God would be profitable for them. That the word of God will not grow in the mind alone, but in the heart, that they will exercise, that they will work in the ministry, that they will become soldiers for Jesus Christ, that they will preach nothing but the true gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.